Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, January 24th, 2018. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. Pleased to be here.
And it's great to have you here. Kelly Gaumont, how are you?
I'm mostly doing okay, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And mostly okay is better than a lot of people. So well done.
And Kelly, nice to be back with you.
Yes, it's really, I'm always excited when we get the band back together after a while away.
Yeah, it's I with everyone's schedules and CES happening and holidays, and it's just been really hard to make the three of us happen. So I'm glad that it worked out today. Yeah. So we might as well just jump right into the big news today, which is that thing, that software, iOS 11.3. So Apple announced iOS 11.3 today. So yes, a day after they release iOS 11.2.5. Or was it yesterday? Day before?
Mm-hmm. Yesterday.
And it all bleeds together.
Especially when they do it every 24 hours, it gets a little difficult to keep straight which is which.
Yes. So the deal is 11.3 was announced and Apple shared several features with us, and it will be available to everyone as an official release sometime in the spring. It's available as a developer beta today. So if you're part of Apple's developer program, you can install it and start testing it today. If you are just a non-developer, I said just a non-developer. Why would it be just? People that are non-developers are really important too. If yes, you are one of the amazing non-developers that's out there in the world, you too can start playing with iOS 11.3 beta later this week. Now, it'll be the very first beta. So if you love to rush in where angels fear to tread, great. If not, but you still want to play with it, if you have an extra device that it's okay if it gets borked at some point, put it on that. So my plan is I'm going to start today with an iPad, and I'm going to tell myself all the way until later today when I finally break down that I'm not going to install it on my iPhone right away. So, but at least I understand who I am. So iPad as soon as it comes out, iPhone later in the day, because
a borked iPhone 10 would be a sad experience.
Well, we may get to experience it because that's what it's going on.
And let me point out that Jeff, to help you ward this off for another hour, I will remind you of the day I had to talk you off the ledge by helping you troubleshoot the phone that you bricked by installing the update that made it so you couldn't make calls.
I was just thinking about that very thing.
I believe we were on Skype.
We were.
so that we could get this working. Just Skype me. I will help you like talk through it. We'll figure out what happened. And you couldn't make a phone call. And that was the thing that was. So, yeah, this is a thing that happens. And it wasn't just to Jeff. There were loads of people. So
a public release, not a beta.
Yeah. So one of the things that I like to do, this window has gotten smaller over time, but I like to wait and see because I know that somebody like Jeff, somebody, you know, other people that I know, because I run in some pretty geeky circles from time to time, are people who are going to do this no matter what. They're going to jump in head first, no helmet, and I can find out. Like, all I have to do now is go on Twitter. And so once it's officially released, I can go on Twitter, I can go on Facebook, I can, you know, check with some folks and find out from people. My phone doesn't turn on anymore. My phone doesn't make calls. My iPad, you know, is continually rebooting and I can find that stuff out. And so I used to have to wait about a week in order because, you know, that was how you got news about Mac OS, you know, when all you had was Pony Express. And ever since then, that window's gotten a little shorter every time. Now that we have much better ways for people to report these results. So you may want to just sit tight and check out what other people are saying about getting the software installed successfully before you jump in yourself, particularly on a production device or your daily driver.
Yes.
You definitely want to make sure that you have those set up. And then you also want to make sure that you have those backed up regularly.
Oh, yes.
That said, Kelly, I've been very successful in doing immediate updates lately to make sure that I have the best security patches.
And so I would like everyone to get a Sharpie and write down that this is the day that John jinxed himself.
With a little bit of trembling, I have been jumping right into these security updates, and it's gone really well. Apple updates are very solid lately.
No, security updates tend to be very solid when that's the only thing. If all they're doing is pushing out a security update, those have tended to go without incident. That I will say.
Well, I'm thinking about 10.13.3, which I did on three Macs yesterday. And 10.13.3 was just smooth as silk and no problems. Day one.
Okay.
I'm not too surprised with that one, but that's only because I'd been beta testing it for a while. I'm moving us on because I want to get your opinions on some of the features that were announced in iOS 11.3. So we'll start with the big one, which I will preface with, this is not in today's developer beta release. It's coming in one of the future betas for 11.3. And this is the battery settings thing. The thing where you get to see additional information about the health of your iPhone battery. Mm-hmm. And if the health of the battery degrades to a point where the thing that was introduced in iOS 10.2.1, where the processes or the processor requests get spread out over more cycles. So it essentially slows down your phone. You can turn that off if you want in iOS 11.3. But like I said, not in today's developer beta, in one of the upcoming developer beta releases.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start by saying I love that Apple is giving us more useful information about battery health on our iPhones. Mm-hmm. I think it's a horrible mistake to give people the option to turn off the setting that keeps their phone from crashing.
As do I. And the reason I think that is because my house had an iPhone 6 with iOS 11 installed that started doing that. It just started rebooting. And if I had a switch, like if it had just said the battery in this is crap and, you know, you need to know that, like whatever you do about that information, most people that I know who have been looking to maximize the battery life on their computers, because batteries, you know, in the olden days when you could just go buy a new battery and swap it out, those batteries weren't cheap. And so I know a lot of people who would install a little utility and, you know, the utility of their choosing and sort of check in on the health of their battery every so often so that they knew whether or not their computer's battery was in good shape.
Right.
And I always wanted that on iOS, you know, particularly as people started complaining about battery life. And in fact, I was in an Apple store recently listening to this woman who said, you know, I heard that there were battery problems, so I'm bringing in my phone. And she had an iPhone 7. And she said, yeah, I can't get it to go 2 days without charging anymore. And it used to. So I need a new battery.
Oh, so that's awesome.
So this is like a real thing that happened. I'm not making up this story. This is a real conversation I heard while I was waiting at the Apple store. And this woman, and he was like, lots of people charge them every night. Come home when you get off work. It was her work phone. When you get off work and you bring it home, if you don't use it while you're home, then just plug it in and let it charge. And just do that when you get home every night. And he said, lots of people charge them every night. And all I wanted to do was lean over and go, how are you getting 2 days at a time?
Seriously.
You know, like I'm lucky to get to lunch and not be like in the red some days. So anyway, so like, I think there's a lot of perception around this that comes from people not paying attention and maybe only hearing the part of the story that was the headline, which is like Apple screwed up again, you know, and not really paying attention and having a good understanding of the issue. So I would really like if under like settings general about maybe there was a battery section that tells me what I need to know about my battery, not an arbitrary number that Apple gives you, which is what the battery percentage is, by the way, if you've got that on in the top of your screen. But something more like this is how many cycles it is or has, and this is what capacity it's at. Like, that's all I want. And then, you know, because people being able to turn that off and go, I want my phone to be fast as possible. Well, okay. Then you're going to get from here to crashing faster than you ever did before. And I don't feel like that's a good solution because you're just giving people, like, do you want to be mad this way or do you want to be mad that way? And giving people two different anger vectors just doesn't seem like a smart decision to me.
Well, I think most people will leave it off. And the people who really wanted it and got uptight about it will turn it on and know what they're doing. But most people will just go with the flow, may not even worry about it and leave it in the old mode. Most people, I think.
I hope you're right. The people that do disable the anti-crashing feature, their mm-hmm. phones are going to crash and they're going mm-hmm. to be pissed off and they'll be very vocal about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
there'll be another stampede to the Apple store and people will go in all mad because their phones are crashing all the time. And then the Apple person is literally going to flip a magical switch, be like, here you go. Like, you didn't need to bring this in, but here you go. Let me turn this switch back for you that you turned on so that you could have your phone crash. You know, I don't get what people are going to gain from this, I guess, is my issue. And yes, there's going to be like four people in the world who go, I turned it off and now everything is fine. But that's like four people. And do you know how many phones out there are going to need this?
The users may not gain much, but the lawyers will.
Oh, my God. You just nailed it, John. This is all about lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me sad. All right, I want to talk about something different now because I just got sad.
Let's
talk about business chat because that's one of those things that sounds really interesting to me. And I bet there's a lot of people that are thinking, I don't want the companies that I interact with to be able to chat me all the freaking time. So business chat, it's one of the features that Apple touted as coming to iOS 11. So it'll be in iOS 11.3. And what it does is it lets the companies that you're interacting with, like for tech support, or if you're trying to find the right services you need for whatever subscription thing you're doing, or you need to buy something and you're just not sure what the right product is. So you can do an in messages chat with those companies. So you don't have to like go to a website and start one of their web chats or get on the phone and call, because heaven forbid that people have voice interaction. But it's actually a pretty cool thing. And the companies that we know for certain will be on board when the feature launches is Discover, Hilton, Lowe's, and Wells Fargo. But Apple says that there are more companies.
Okay.
So the deal is that let's go with the example that Apple had in their announcement, which is Lowe's. Kelly, let's say you want to get a smart lock for your house.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sure which one. So you start mm-hmm. a chat with Lowe's. They help you figure out which lock is the right one. They send you a link so that you can make a purchase. And then you do it through Apple Pay and mm-hmm. it shows up at your house 2 days later and you've got your lock. Someone personally helped you pick it out and you didn't have to go to the store to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the idea. And I mean, to me, this sounds great because if, like, let's say there's something wrong with my credit card. So I just hop in, I start a chat with Wells Fargo. Hey, what's up with my mm-hmm. card? And they can say, oh, yeah, we had to put a hold on it because of fraudulent activity. Your new card's on the way, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And and you're just done. So you didn't have to go hunting to find special phone numbers or websites or whatever. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I like about it, which John, I think you'll like, is that the conversations are anonymous. So it's not like if you start chatting with Lowe's, they know that you are on the hunt for a smart lock and then start targeting you directly with smart lock advertising.
I do. I like that.
That was going to be my next question, is what happens to this information? So,
yeah. So it stays anonymous. And then if at any point you're like, yeah, I'm done with this conversation, you stop the conversation and that's it. They cannot contact you.
I like the way Apple thinks about these things.
Me too.
Because they go so wrong in so many ways when other people do it. And you just sigh and go, oh, why did they do it that way? When Apple does it, you go, hey, that's pretty nifty.
Yeah, I really like the notion that I can have a conversation with a company and I'm not suddenly hooked in a way where they're just going to be bombarding me with text messages or ads or anything else, because that's not within their power.
Well, the carrot is a possibility of a sale. So the company still gets the opportunity to sell you something. They just make the money. They just don't invade your privacy.
Right. So, yeah, so I think it's great.
Yeah. Much like if I went to the store, I could walk in, buy the lock, walk out. They don't have any, you know, if I pay cash, they have no record of it being me. I don't get smart lock advertisements on my phone forever. So I think this will be interesting and useful in a number of ways, depending on who all has it.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so when you walk into a store and you browse around and you approach a salesperson and you ask a few questions, they don't ask you to fill out a form with your name and phone number before they'll ask you answer your questions in person.
Yeah, they just start talking. They don't say it's the same kind of ID.
Yeah, right. So it's the same kind of model.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I think it will be also good for on-demand stuff. Like, Jeff, your credit card is a good example of that. Alaska Airlines is who I think of because they have an awesome social media team that whenever I've needed help, they've been right there for me. And being able to do things like, I think this is great for airlines because it's super hard to get a hold of somebody usually when you're in the airport. And it's hard to talk on the phone in the airport. So if you're in an airport trying to rebook or something or trying to get something changed, this could be a really useful way for people to do that. And so I think it's going to depend. Like, I'm sort of interested in the Lowe's thing as far as questions, but I also have the opportunity to go to Lowe's and ask somebody at Lowe's those same questions.
Right.
So I don't know what the benefit necessarily would be for me with them, but I do like that they're trying it out, and it puts them a step ahead of Home Depot, who's still trying to get me to give them my email address every time I buy something there. Because what I need for them to have is more data. Why?
Well, of course, I'm not using my Mac Observer address when I go to Home Depot. So my personal address that I have, there's a hyphen in the domain name. You can't.
Oh.
Their system doesn't support hyphens.
Well, their system was also breached recently. And the fact that they upgraded all their terminals and won't let me Apple Pay is confounding to me whenever I go there, which is why I try to go to Lowe's or to my friendly neighborhood hardware store where the guy in electrical has been doing electrical for, you know, 30 years or whatever, and is able to answer all my questions, you know, when I just go in and like show him like the four pictures on my phone of what I'm trying to do. And then he gets me the parts that help me.
We have one of those nearby. So, it's Ace Hardware. They're awesome.
Shout out Park Rose Hardware. Yeah. It's great. So, this won't replace that, but for other sorts of transactions, I'm very interested to see where this model goes, partly because if Apple does it and it's reasonably successful, Google's going to take a shot at it so that Android can do this. And I'm even more curious how it's going to work for Android people, because Android people are the product when you talk about Google services. And so, like, you know, inherently, that's why there's a certain amount of, like, I hold a healthy amount of distrust for Google for that reason, you know.
An interesting point, Kelly. Your business model inherently dictates your design. And right. when Apple competes against you by finding weaknesses in your business model and you try to compete back against Apple, mm-hmm. you end up messing things up because your business model has those inherent weaknesses which compromise your service.
Which is why this is how I'm curious. I'm very curious to see how this evolves. Yeah. Because like if Apple does it for iOS, then Google's going to want to do it for Android, or Samsung's going to try and be the mediator for Android or something. Mm. And the point of Google services is taking your data and mining it and selling that to other people. Apple's model is to sell you a phone and then get you to buy stuff through their stores for your phone. You need a case, you need a charger, you need an app, you need a magazine, whatever. So like Apple is trying to sell you things so that you will spend money with Apple. And that's true. But that's not how the Google model works. Like molecularly, these are different kinds of use cases. So
there's probably meetings going on right now, Google saying, how can we make our service look like Apple's, but still have our own business model underneath?
Yes, but how do we mine all that data to sell to all the people who are buying all the inbox data from everybody's Gmail address? Yeah. So that's a thing that, and that's still a conversation I feel like people need to have, because I don't know how many people understand the fundamental difference between the two. So, you know, if you buy an Android device because it's cheaper, that's fine. But one of the things that you're giving up is a lot of your information as anonymized data that goes out to, you know, other companies, because Google selling your user profile is where they're making their money. That's why you can get everything for free.
All right.
So, you know, this iOS update looks so expansive to me, Jeff, with so many different new features. It might have been iOS 12.
Well,
that's a significant... There's a significant amount of update in
11.3. So we're out of time, but I want to rattle off some more of the features just so that people know what else to expect when this comes out. So they're adding 4 new Animoji faces. So there'll be a dragon, bear, lion, and skull. They are adding in a health records feature so that health care providers that are part of the supported system can then feed their data into that. So you can look at all your health records and health information from a single interface on your iPhone and get updates.
That's cool.
for medications and lab results and, you know, stuff like that. Then there's a new version of ARKit, version 1.5. It adds support for vertical surfaces. So it basically Ooh. What happens is this update to ARKit brings ARKit in line with Google's AR platform for Android. So, which is what AR Core. So you also get higher resolution, for whatever you're seeing, 50% higher resolution, which you're seeing through the camera. And Apple says that it has an autofocus thing now so that you get what they're calling even sharper perspective. HomeKit gets a new thing called software authentication. And what that does is it lets smart home device makers add in HomeKit support to devices that already exist without having to re-engineer them for HomeKit specifically. That has the potential to be huge because we've had this big barrier to entry for HomeKit, and now it's going to be easier for device makers to adopt the HomeKit platform. So that's kind of cool. Let's see, other big thing there are a few other things that are in there as well, but those are the big things. So I'll be installing it soon, as soon as it's available, and we'll see if it breaks anything for me. Time will tell. I'm doing a quick check before the show ends, and iOS 11.3 developer beta 1 just dropped, so I'll be installing that in a few minutes. John, thank you for being here today.
I'm very welcome.
And Kelly, thank you for being here as well.
You're more than welcome. Remember your iPhone.
That's why I'm starting with my iPad. Yep.
Okay.
Listeners, thank you for being here. It's always great to be able to share some time with you every day. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.